You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Episode 7 of the Championship Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell. I am one of your hosts, Brent Smith, alongside Shane Stetsny, and we're going to talk with a couple different drivers this week and talk about ERX Motor Park in Elk River, Minnesota. Shane, we've seen a lot of great action going on at Elk River, Minnesota, and I can't wait to go back next year, but things are starting to heat up. We're just getting to the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, Brent, and how awesome was that racing at ERX Motor Park a few days ago? You know, I finally collected myself and was, you know, running through my mental memories of the event, and one thing that stood out to me was Pro 4. Holy smokes, did those guys put on a heck of a show. And we saw a couple guys that we've been waiting for to show up near the top. They finally put together those runs. We saw Jimmy Henderson run up front. He actually ran down RJ Anderson and created a battle for the lead. We saw Kyle Chaney start on the front row and then run away from everybody for a couple laps. So Pro 4 definitely heating up, and we're starting to see some of the up-and-coming guys in the class push their way to the front now.
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. It's been so unreal to watch first half of the year. I mean, you and I get the eagle's eye view of everything, and just to see Kyle Chaney and to see Jimmy Henderson run at that level, it's awesome. I mean, I took the time to go over after the driver's meeting and just give them both a tap on the shoulder and say, hey, great run yesterday. You know, good luck today, because we want to see that. We want to see the battle in Pro 4. I mean, granted, we're going to see Kyle LeDuc, Johnny Greaves, CJ Greaves, Adrian Chenny, the Wild Man, everyone duke it out and bang fender to fender, but we want to see all 13 trucks go at it. And I think this year, 2021, is the season to watch, because Pro 4 is heating up, but we do have a lot of different classes in Champ Off-Road. And these sportsman divisions, these points battles, there's the top 5-6 in each class. It's just unreal how close the points are.
Yeah, one class where the points chase is really, at this point, only two drivers is Pro Stock side by side. But that was another one that had a couple surprises at ERX a couple weeks ago. Owen Van Epperen found his way to the podium. We saw Dallas Nord come out to play with us in Champ Off-Road, and he was able to run up front for a while. And Jacob Rosales, again, found his way to the front amidst fighting against some bad luck and some mechanical issues. But what that showed is that even though Brock Hager and CJ Greaves have taken all those wins so far in Pro Stock this year, they're not invincible. And I think, you know, the time is coming where we're going to see a new winner here in the 2021 season in Pro Stock side by side.
Absolutely. I totally agree 100%, Shane, because like anyone can win at any given time, and you can watch Brock Hager, CJ Greaves go at it, throw fenders. I mean, they're great race car drivers. Don't get me wrong. Don't take nothing away from anybody else, but they're factory drivers. They're paid to win. Like, they're going to get the best equipment. They're going to run as hard as they can, and kudos to them. But I really do think, like, Rosales and a couple other guys I've been keeping my eyes on have a shot to take them down. They just got to keep being consistent and make the right moves at the right time. And at the same time, hope that maybe CJ or Brock Hager can maybe bobble and make a mistake, and they have to be there to capitalize on it.
And on that note, Brent, I actually talked to Jacob Rosales earlier, and here's what he had to say about racing in Pro Stock side-by-side and a little bit of his background in the sport as well. All right, first up this time on the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amsoil, from Pro Stock side-by-side, Jacob Rosales. Jacob, welcome to the show, and thanks for taking some time out.
Yes, sir, of course, anytime.
Okay, so first I want to talk a little bit about your history in racing. So as far as racing on a national level goes, you won a championship in the Midwest in 2017, I believe, and then you bounced out west, raced on the West Coast for a couple of years before you came back to the Midwest. What did you do before you got into nationals racing in the side-by-side?
Before that, I played baseball, but I mostly raced motocross. I did motocross for about 4 years and then got into UTVs probably 2 years after motocross.
So after you came to the Midwest and won the Sportsman Championship, you bounced out west. What brought you back here to the Midwest?
I was racing for a team over there, obviously, with Mickey being at the time on that team as well. And the series was great out there. It was just such a long travel, and the series started moving it back to the west, or the Midwest. And after that first year, we decided to take a break. I had to go to school at the time. So That was my last season, was 3 years ago, the last time I raced.
So you're in pro stock. That class so far has been, every race has been won by Brock and CJ, two established longtime short course racers. They've got factory support, a ton of wins between the two of them, you know, going back over the last decade. And the rest of the field is a really deep field of other, you know, rising stars, up and coming guys. How tough is it to go out and be competitive and run up front like you have this year?
Well, we didn't know anything coming at all into the season. We got the car a month before the season, but we started building it a month before. And 3 days before Antigua, we actually picked it up for the first time. So we were kind of just going in there blind. We didn't know. We haven't practiced in 3 years. We haven't driven a machine in 3 years. So we didn't know what to expect and, you know, what was going to happen of it. But then we came out in Antigua swinging. We just said we're just going to put it on the rails and see how it goes. And it's hard competing with, you know, people who have factory rides. We've been doing this all the time, get a practice like that. But we know that we can car compete, and we know that now we can drive a little bit too. So now we're just pushing it to the top as much as we can.
I want to dig in a little bit more on that story because that's news to me. So you got the car finished, you said, just a couple days before Antigo. What was that scramble like to rush to get it all put together? And how many people are helping you out that you were able to pull that off?
So we got the car built by Jason Weller with Weller Racing. And it was a struggle of a thing. They're building it on the West Coast, and we knew that we had a very shy, like, short time gap that the car had to be built on. And we were like, if we can't make this deadline, we're going to miss Antigua, which is going to throw off the season. But we, you know, came up with the deadline. The car got shipped here, and then we drove it straight from here, the day it got here, straight to Antigua, which was a super big rush. I mean, the car wasn't fully done. We had to do some small things at the track here and there. But we have a good team. Being part of Mickey has been a big help. You know, I got Jacob helping me out, which my mechanic is named Jacob as well. And then we have Joe and Joe, which they all pitch in and help out as much as they possibly can.
So even with the struggles that you faced just making it to the track and against this tough field and pro stock side by side, you've already been able to lead in multiple races. You put together three straight top fives to open the season. Now you've kind of fallen on hard times. You had a couple down rounds in the last three races. But looking ahead, do you have a lot of confidence that you can get back to the podium or maybe steal a win this year?
Yeah, we have a lot of confidence, you know. It's just been a little bad luck. I mean, in Crandon, we had our rubber completely come off our tire, which we were burning up the rim. First ADRX, we thought we had a flat tire, so we pulled off, and we had a start in the back. And then third race at ERX, you know, I had a similar problem. One of my shocks exploded going into the turn, which kind of caused that bike that heavy. But it's just a struggle back luck, and it's all part of racing. And we know the car can compete up in the front, and I think we have a good shot at winning races this year.
So you mentioned that you raced with Mickey Thomas. He's obviously doing extremely well in Pro 2. And then also Jimmy Henderson comes from Georgia, too. He's kind of had his coming out party at ERX in Pro 4. Both of those guys came from racing side-by-sides. So I guess what I want to know is, what's the side-by-side racing scene like down there in Georgia that it's creating all these fast guys that are coming to the Midwest now?
Well, sadly enough, most of the guys that come from here, like us three, we have to travel to race. Down south, it's more of a mudding thing. People just really like to put their stuff in mud. So racing down here is not very big at all. I'm pretty sure we have one short course track in the state of Georgia that is actually sort of suitable for racing. But even then, it's not really ran. It's not a big thing down here yet, but it's coming around a lot. A lot more interest is being drawn into it. A lot more people are trying to get machines. A lot more people want to be a part of these tracks and build them.
So that makes me wonder, if the three of you guys came from limited short course background and you're all doing well, like, what's in the water down there that Georgia is just making good race car drivers?
It's got to be something good in the water. It's got to be something good.
So you talked about the stresses of traveling back and forth. Do you and the car both go back to Georgia between every event, even when it's just a two-week turnaround?
So with a two-week turnaround, that was the only problem we had. We couldn't bring the car back, and we had to keep doing prep at the track. Which, not the worst case scenario, but it obviously could be better. And, you know, luckily this time around, we got to bring it back and actually do some real prep and get it back to looking what it was the first race in Antigua.
What do you do to improve yourself as a driver when you're away from the racetrack or during the off season? You mentioned earlier that you used to race motocross. That's still something you do just to keep the skills sharp a little bit?
We strayed away from motocross a little bit just because balancing those two would be very hard because I have a passion strongly for both. I started on iRacing. I found that through the racers and started using that a lot. And then we do some stuff on street racing.
What kind of street racing do you do?
We've gotten into karting, and now we're entering, I believe Mickey races it. It's in AA. I forget what it's called, but it's like an automotive race, like older cars. Like, we race Porsches, like older Porsches and Subies and stuff like that.
So looking a little bit further ahead in your racing career, Do you see off-road as your home long-term, or do you want to eventually branch out into more disciplines?
Off-road long-term. There's nothing like it. The adrenaline of every race, every track, or every lap, it's a new track. It can change anything from the guy in last place could be in first in one lap, you know? It's just, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like this, that kind of racing in this world.
So being in Georgia, where short course off-road racing doesn't yet have a huge following, how did you find out about short course racing, and you know what attracted you to it from the start?
So 2 months before Torque, this shop we used to work out of, the guy next to us raced Torque, and it was Zach Martin at the time, and he raced next to us, and he offered to like let us come drive it somewhere, and I drove it for one lap, flipped in the first turn that I got into. Got out and was like, I want to race these. For motocross, you know, you fall down and it's a pretty hard fall and you break a lot of things. And when I rolled over in that, there was nothing wrong. And I said, I need to race these. I just have to. So then we built the car. I think we had like 2 months to build that one, and then just kind of blindly went into Torque, not really knowing how to either work on the cars or what the cars were doing. We were just racing them.
You want to stay in off-road. So do you see yourself maybe following in Mickey's footsteps, moving into a pro truck class?
Yes, we see it very soon than later out. Most likely being in the pro lights and within either next season or season after that, but most likely next season.
All right, so looking ahead at the rest of this season, next up is Dirt City, another track that you've never raced before, right?
Yes, sir.
So how do you prepare for a track that maybe you've only seen on video?
We just go in there, and we know what we have to do. We know what we have to execute on. We'll take a couple laps of the track, or we'll take a couple looks at the track, you know, fill it out during the first practice, and then qualifying, laying lap downs. So it's not about seeing the track necessarily. It's just showing up and knowing what we have to do in order to compete.
You mentioned that you started racing and you're still teammates now with Mickey Thomas. How's that helped you so far this year in Champ Off Road?
Obviously, him being in Georgia, it made it a lot easier. You know, if we could just go along with him, and then just his, I mean, Mickey's a great driver, and it's helped me out a lot just hearing what he has to say about the track and how much I can learn from him.
Does he get information back from you too? I mean, does he draw on a lot from you, even though you're racing two very distinct classes?
Yeah, I'll go out there and watch his practice and his qualifying laps, and especially most of his races, and I can see, you know, where he's killing it at or where he's maybe losing a little bit of speed at, and I let him know what I think that would work, and then, you know, if he goes and tries it, he goes and tries it, and if it works, it works.
So aside from Mickey and the rest of your dedicated team, who else is supporting you this year?
Yeah, I wanted to thank Jersey Mike Subs for being on with us the entire way, helping us out a lot. I also want to thank Rob First Attorney, Oconee Capital Homes, Critter Fixer, The Butcher Shop, Collard Banker Access Realty, Comfort and Air, Victory Lane Auto Sales, Weller Racing, and Max's Tires. And Max's Tires being a big one for always getting us on the track with what we need.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time very much. Thank you for your patience in getting this put together and coming on the show. And we look forward to hopefully seeing you run up front again at Dirt City here in a few days.
Of course. Thank you.
Right there, that was Jacob Rosales in Pro Stock, a guy to watch in the second half of the season. I mean, my eyes are set on a couple guys, and I think he's going to be one to watch here in 2021. In 2022, that kid's got a lot going for him, so it'll be exciting to see how that kid can keep on progressing, Shane.
Yeah, like you heard him say, Brent, I mean, he kind of threw together his program for the season at the last minute, and he's still able to run up front. He's obviously a very driven guy, and as I said, I look for him to be pushing his way towards a win here by the end of this 2021 season. But don't forget, Champ Off Road fans, visit AMSOIL.com for products that protect and maximize performance in all your vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient AMSOIL product guides to find what you need and get fast, free shipping right to your door. AMSOIL, run with us.
Another driver we're going to keep an eye on in the second half of the season is 1600 light buggy and single buggy driver Billy Booth. Shane had a few moments to catch up with him and see how his season's going.
With us now on the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL. He races in 1600 buggy and in light buggy. It's Billy Booth. Billy, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on, Shane.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So last year in 1600 and light buggy combined, you had 5 wins, only one DNF, and you won both championships. This year, we're halfway through the season. You don't have a win yet, and you have a pair of DNFs. So at the halfway point of a tough season, what's your approach to turning things around?
Yeah, it was unfortunate. It seems like our luck just suddenly ran out, which makes sense after a couple good years here. So now it's just about going for wins and using this bad luck we had to get some better start positions and make a mess for everybody else going for these point championships and winning as many races as possible and just have some fun closing out the season.
So last year you were actually the history maker, the first two-time champion in Champ Off-Road. You know, with the struggles that you're having this season, does that kind of show everybody how tough it actually is to do what you did last year?
Yeah, I hope so. You know, we were a two-time champ, but so was CJ. And CJ's done it every year for like the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years up in the pro ranks. And, you know, he makes it look easy. And, you know, we were able to do it last year. Like I said, first of the Champ Off-Road, first in the sportsman division since like mid-90s or something. So it was pretty unbelievable. And I was pretty confident this winter that we had a shot at it again, but like I mentioned, your luck determines a lot, and we just started to catch up to us, you know, doing prep on two cars. We missed a couple things, and it bit us in the butt. These classes are so competitive. You know, Greg Stingle ran that light buggy class for a long time, and there's a lot of guys that have stepped up there, and you know, six guys that can win any given day in that class, and then you go to the 69 class, Fitz, Tony, Dylan, myself, you know, Terrell Stasnow are getting fast. There's fast cars everywhere. So to be able to run up front, it takes some skill as well as some luck. And you're just missing the luck and maybe the skill, I keep telling myself. But I'll get my confidence back.
So you mentioned CJ. First of all, for the record, you had your second championship earlier in the day on Sunday at the second Crandon last year than he did. So you do get the title of the first two-time champ. Just for the record, but you mentioned CJ, you know, obviously he's a professional racer. That's his job. How difficult is it for you, especially with a small team, to run in two sportsman classes?
Yeah. I live in an apartment in Madison. So my race shop is not very accessible to me. It's an hour drive over to my parents' house, where we still have both cars and work on them. So I'm pretty limited. You know, I spend all my weekends there and then, you know, basically getting up in the morning, driving over there every weekend, you know, sometimes during the race season, get over there on some weeknights, but even that's sitting in rush hour traffic and I'm at getting over there. I can maybe like get 4 hours in a night. We have, you know, a couple of quick turnarounds this year with, just 1 week in between races, getting one car done to the proper level that I always felt we needed to do. It was difficult enough. Getting two has been pretty difficult. We had a couple issues at ERX and got a lot of stuff going on right now. We're pretty tight on time, even with this 2 week turnaround. So staying focused on staying clean and keeping your car intact is a lot of it too. When you're doing this, you can spend more time working on your stuff if you're a little too over aggressive. And I was pretty bad at that when I started at this. And you know, the more stuff you hit, the more stuff you got to fix, the more it's spent, the more you can't work on refining stuff and get it to where you need to be. So staying clean has a lot of help no matter what you're looking to do.
So changing gears a little bit, looking at the rest of this season, last year at Dirt City, you picked up your only light buggy win at Dirt City, where we're headed next. Do you have confidence that returning to a track where you've had success already, you know, will that give you some momentum moving towards the end of the year?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. We just came from ERX where we won 3 of the 4 last year in 1600 and didn't back it up this year. But I do love going to Dirt City. We have 2 light buggy wins there in the last 2 years since the drafts came around. And we tested up there with the Moore group and the Dirt City test day in May and felt pretty good about what we were doing. The track's looking amazing as always. And I am hoping that we can finish the season around. Dirt City and Barker River, I feel, are my best tracks. So getting back to somewhere where I had that confidence, rebuilding that confidence after a tough start to the year will be important.
Looking even further into the future, next year and beyond, it's already kind of public that you're talking about moving up to a new class. What's your plan there, and do you have any updates for us?
Yeah, right now we have our light buggy for sale. We put it up for sale as a package deal this winter and didn't get any bites. We were seeing if we could put together the capital to go pro buggy racing. So now we have the light buggy listed. It's just the car, and once we sell that, depending on how that goes, then we'll look to start selling the 1600 buggy as well, with the intention of going pro buggy racing. There's a lot of good cars sitting out there in that class, and that class has really come together with a lot of good drivers. It's something I look forward to, you know, racing these limited buggies. It's a lot of momentum based, keeping your speed up, keeping your corner speed up, looking to move into something that requires more throttle control, and being on the edge with their throttle and improving that driving style as well, basically taking the next step in the progression of off-road.
So do you think that Pro Buggy is your ultimate goal, or do you have plans to maybe someday move into the side-by-sides or truck racing?
That's a good question that a lot of people have been asking me. It's where I want to go for now, I think. It's, you know, being a sportsman racer, you kind of look at what you can spend versus the time you have and what you're capable of. To get in the truck class, you need so much help. You need so much time on your hands. Putting together the right program takes making it your whole life. And right now I don't have the desire to do that. It's something that it's always kind of out on the horizon. What would it take to maybe get to that point? But for now, you know, looking at Pro Buggy, we got a couple friends that are big in the side by side that keep pushing me that's the direction, maybe should go. And maybe someday that would be the path to pro racing. But for now, getting the Pro Buggy, see how that goes, and see how we can do in that class. First, we got to finish off strong in a couple of limited buggy races we got left.
So a common theme in your answer so far is limited time, limited resources. So how big is your team, and how big is your actual support circle in your off-road racing endeavors?
Yeah, basically, when we're in the shop, it's basically three of us. It's myself, my dad, my dad's good friend that also raced off-road back in the 90s. And that's kind of our core group throughout the winter, the three of us on most weekends. And then at the track, that's our main three, my dad spotting, Mark helping strap me in at staging and anything I need. We can get a couple friends that come up and help with some of the close races. We'll usually get a group of four or five guys that'll help with cleaning, putting panels on and off, doing the odd tasks around the pits, or helping prepare what we have it. But this last week in the ERX, it was just the three of us, and we had to do a motor swap at the track, a couple different suspension changes throughout the weekend. It's a good group to have. A lot of smart people have. Mark and my dad have been around this forever. They raced 16-hour buggy together back in the 90s, and were a big part of teaching me everything I knew when we first started. It was them showing me the ropes, and it was kind of them pushing the lead. And over time, it's kind of swapped where I do most of the work myself now and just kind of lean on those guys to help in areas that either are a two-person job or requires a little more expertise.
So again, looking ahead to rounds 7 and 8 coming up here in a week and a half at Dirt City, you know, how does that track uniquely challenge you as a driver, and how does it uniquely challenge the buggy classes, limited buggy classes, compared to some of the longer, flatter tracks on the circuit?
Yeah, Dirt City's, it's, you know, before Anna goes on the schedule, is definitely our tightest on the circuit. And with it being so new, nobody really has a good notebook or understanding of what needs to be done. Stingle's 30 years of experience, or Fitz's 20 years of experience, doesn't outshine some of us younger guys. You know, that team's been making a lot of changes to the track. The dirt's kind of maturing. They changed that split lane up based on what they've seen the previous year. So you really just need to get there Friday of practice, pay attention to what everybody else does, figuring out which lane's going to be dominant in that split lane, figuring out, you know, how the faces of some of these jumps are looking. That front tabletop kind of changes week to week with how soft that dirt is. So I'm looking forward to it. The short track kind of plays in the driver's hands, and especially in the light buggy class, you got to be so on the edge in that car, pushing 110% without hitting anything to make it happen. And then the 1600 cars getting through that front section, you can get down to one. If you can hold it wide open through turn one, and those cars will pick up your second there. So it's a big challenge. It's a racer track built by racers, so looking forward to the challenge.
That was some really good insight. So I'm going to jump ahead one event now. And you said that Bark River is your favorite track. What is it about Bark River that you seem to enjoy, or that plays into your hands as a driver? And maybe compare and contrast, you know, Bark River being one of the more wide open tracks to Dirt City here.
Yeah, so with Bark River and a light buggy, or even a 16-hour buggy, I did get one race in there back in 2019. In a light buggy, you're essentially only lifting twice a lap on the track. But the sections that you have to hold wide open aren't easy to hold wide open. You go to Crandon or light buggy, turn one up to the barn, you can hold that wide open very, very easy, and you're just looking for edges of time. Whereas at Bark River, you go through the cemetery turn, you got to hit your lines perfect, you got to find the edges, hit your apexes, right, to be able to carry all your speed through there. You need to be on it completely all the way back until you come all the way back over the hill and take your right-hander there. And so it's a very wide-open track, but it's not easy to be wide open. Now with Third City, it's a lot of 180s, pretty flat. You know, you got your one elevation down into the hole in turn five there. But you got your jumps, your split lanes to work with. You're trying to just find your rhythm of carrying that momentum and making sure you don't over rotate on your hairpin turns, as well as picking your passing zones. Of you're not going to be able to beat a guy by holding more throttle time than you're going to need to get to the throttle back before him and get out of the corner better to get positioning for the next corner.
Well, I hope that you're able to apply that approach well at Dirt City here in a couple days and find your way back up onto the podium, get your season back on track. And once again, very appreciative that you took the time to talk with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Shane. Great to have this platform. It's something new to the Midwest, and great that we have this access for all the drivers, and looking forward to the big things that Champ has planned for the series.
Awesome. We'll catch up with you in a couple days, man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks, Shane.
All right, once again, that is Billy Booth, and he had time to catch up with us on the Champ Off-Road Podcast. And, man, Shane, it's going to be fun to watch the second half of the season with all these great drivers taking the time to tell us about what goes on behind the scenes, and I can't wait to get things going.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Brent. Again, thanks to both of our guests this week. That was Jacob Rosales from Pro Stock Side-by-Side that you heard first, and again, that was Billy Booth from 1600 Buggy and Light Buggy. Our next event here at AMSOIL Championship Off-Road is round 7 and 8 at Dirt City Motorplex in Lena, and that's just over a week away now, but we'll still have one more podcast for you before then.
You're absolutely correct, Shane. I can't wait to get the second half of the season underway. That's going to be a wrap on this episode. For Shane Stetsny, I'm Brent Smith. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by AMSOIL.